Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us around the state this afternoon, wherever you're tuned in or online. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Got a full show for you today. Daniel Stewart joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll preview tonight's baseball game against Ole Miss and talk about this past weekend's performance against Old Dominion and catch you up on all things Southern Miss. Got an interesting story about the NIT and how how the smaller schools continue to get screwed over by college sports these days, but we'll get to that a little later. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg, and the opening segment of our show is sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. All right, we've got a former Southern Miss star and a soon-to-be Southern Miss star in the studio today. They're going to take some time with us, and then we'll be moving on to Daniel Stewart. But first, let's talk to Heath Graham, who was a quarterback for the Golden Eagles for 3 years. Let's see here, 4,053 yards passing, 50.7% completion rate, 23 touchdown passes, a quarterback rating of 102.0. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe he can tell us. Heath Graham, who was otherwise known as the Slinger
from Stringer,
is with us now. And Heath, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on the Eagle Hour.
Glad to be here.
I want to ask you a question right out of the gate. You played, what years did you play here?
94, 95, and 96.
All right, so when you look at college football today, and we'll get in a little more detail about this, do you recognize the game anymore, Heath?
Well, there's definitely a lot of things have changed. Kelly and I were talking about that earlier. I mean, the game, I guess, is somewhat the same. I mean, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of high power passing offense. We didn't have as many back then when I played, but I think the things around the game has changed more than the actual game itself. You know, back when I came to school, not only were there no kind of stipends for players, you couldn't even hold a part-time job. So, and you had kids that come from some tough spots in life that were brought to school, dropped off. You know, they had no money outside of what they had was provided by the school, of cafeterias and I mean, literally, they just couldn't even hold a job for extra money. So I think that's probably the biggest things that changed from when I played. I mean, it's really the game, the things that surround the game don't even look the same anymore.
Now tell me about this. Southern Miss gets a new coach. They started spring football yesterday. He brings 35 players from Marshall in here to suit up as a Southern Miss Golden Eagles, and that would have just been unheard of in your day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, though, it's important for the fans and everybody that supports Southern Miss that we get this thing turned around as quickly as possible. And, you know, I kind of look at that as, I mean, whatever it takes, and it just makes for better competition. I think that probably says a lot about him as a coach, that these guys wanted to follow him. And I think that probably says a lot about his character and as a coach. So, I'm excited to see what happens.
Heath, let's talk a little bit about you as a player. You didn't pass a lot in high school, and Stringer passed more in college. But, you know, there's always been this argument of, well, it's unrealistic to think a kid from a 1A or a 2A school can jump into Division I major football and be able to succeed. But yet you did that. Why were you able to do it, and maybe some other athletes just couldn't do it?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I know the answer to that. I mean, to me, it was the same game. I mean, obviously, people, they ran faster, they hit harder. You know, you played against better talent, but it was still the same game to me. It was 100 yards. Nothing changed about the game. To me, it was just a lot faster. The speed of the game was the biggest thing. So I don't know that I can put my finger on why some can and some can't. You know, coming from a smaller school, you always have doubters that talk about, you know, the competition that you played against. So I think that's – and I'm not saying that's not fair at all. I don't know quite why some are successful, more, some aren't. But to me, it was still the same game. It was just a lot faster and a lot better players you played against. But the game was the same. So
well, the school that you went to, there's not a whole – not many schools smaller than Stringer, with all due respect to the Red Devils. But when you look at that geographical triangle where you were raised up in – you were still in Jones? That's Jasper.
Jasper.
Jasper. All right, so you had Stringer that was putting out athletes, Bay Springs, you know, Reggie Warnsley, Ricky Bradley, among others. Yeah. Taylorsville was a stone's throw away. Mize, the Boykin boys up in man, what is it? Is it the watermelons up in that area? Or what was particularly when you guys were the Smith County, famous Smith County watermelons, that were cranking out such good athletes?
Yeah, there was. I mean, there's a triangle there, and you throw Mount Olive in there with Steve McNair. I don't know. There was a lot of good athletes that come out of that area, and there wasn't a lot to do besides play sports when I grew up, to be honest. I mean, we lived, breathed, and we slept. That's all we did was we played sports. It was really important to us, and I was fortunate to come from a school that was we were small, didn't have a lot of numbers, but man, had some incredible athletes, and that's still true today. That's been true over the years. We've won several more state championships in baseball and football since I was there. So, I mean, we've been blessed to grow up in that community, but a lot of those communities in that area are the same way. I mean, people, just sports are important to them.
What was it about your skill set, and you played in the Bauer years? What was the skill set that you brought to the table that Coach Bauer and them liked? Because, again, you didn't get to throw the ball a whole lot.
Yeah, I think they saw that or thought that I was a winner. You know, we won three state championships at Stringer in football and three in baseball. It certainly wasn't my skills as far as a runner. I was definitely a drop back passer. So I couldn't run the fastest. I wasn't this crazy athlete, but I think they just thought that I was a winner, and they gave me a shot, and you know, I'm still appreciative to this day.
Well, actually, Heath, you had a minus 302 yards rushing in your career.
There you go.
I have all the stats right here.
And Bob, we think it was actually Mitch Williams that dubbed Heath the slinger from Stringer.
Original. Is that right?
And Mitch Williams did that.
We're going to give him credit for that, huh?
Well, I don't know if it's credit or not.
I would have to say that it was Mitch. I'm pretty sure it was, you know, and it's crazy. I'll steal from time to time. Somebody will come out with that, and I still, it's been a long time ago. It's funny around my house, and we joke about it, but I believe it was Mitch. It had to be Mitch. But
I can't wait to ask his daughter what it's like to grow up. Her dad was the slinger from Stringer. But we'll ask her that in the next segment.
And do you embrace that, Heath, or was that such a long time ago that it's almost in a different life?
It was. It really was a different life. I don't know. I never was, you know, one for the – I guess I probably am more of a homebody recluse, and I look at it as another lifetime. It really does seem like another lifetime ago, but I was so blessed to have the experiences I did, man, and play in some of the stadiums that we played in, just historic places, and we had some really big wins when I was there. We were LSU, Georgia, some really big wins, and I was just blessed to be a part of it, and I just still appreciate it to this day.
So what's going on now with you? Tell our listeners where you're at, what you're doing.
I still live in the Stringle area. I sell forklifts. I'm a forklift salesman in South Mississippi. I'm on the road pretty much every day. So anybody that needs a forklift, give me a holler.
When you played for Coach Bauer and you heard that he quote unquote resigned,
yeah.
And then what happened afterwards?
Okay.
I put the air quotes up there.
Yeah.
What was your message to Southern Miss fans when Bauer was essentially let go, Heath? And then what happened afterwards?
Yeah, you know, sports is, obviously the pressure is enormous on not only players but coaches especially. And, people are always looking for the next best thing. And, in the years with Coach Bauer when we were going, 7-4 and 8-3. And, I mean, in those were years that we were playing three SEC teams a year as well. And people just, I think they take for granted sometimes what they have, and they don't realize just how good of a job they are doing. And it doesn't take long to find out that, that not only was he doing an adequate job, he was doing a great job. And, those are some of those years that we were 6-5, 7-4. I mean, we had some huge wins in those years and played some really strong teams. So, a 7-4 year against the schedule that we played, man, was that's strong.
I think it's quick. I think we know now, Bob, it's a lot quicker to tear something down than it is to build it back up.
Right, and of course, a lot of those years they were playing 7 games on the road, and people tended to forget about that as well.
Absolutely.
All right, well, the tradition continues. Madeline Graham is a future softball player, and that's the slinger from Stringer's daughter. We'll see if she has a nickname next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program, campusbookmart.net on Hardy Street, where you can get all your Southern Miss apparel. I want to say hello to our good friends at MCS Home Center out in Bellevue, the new home center for the Pine Belt, just a huge store filled to the brim with everything for your home, for your garden, even hunting supplies, and a great local staff eager to serve you. MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Bob, before we get to Madeline, can I just say a postscript to the interview with the slinger from Stringer? He was never going to do this show until we dug up some pictures of him at a Kappa Sigma Christmas party about 30. And we said, we're going to use these, Heath. We're going to publish these.
I don't know what to say about him, Mr. Graham. We try our best to control him, but then you see moments like this when he just interrupts us and then says these off-the-wall things.
Especially
with your daughter in the studio, right? Madeline Graham is a softball signee, a member of the 2025 Clarion Ledger Dandy Dozen and the 2024 MHSAA All-Star Team. and a good student, I'm happy to add. And she's a signee and about to play softball for the Lady Eagles. And Madeline, welcome. I got two questions for you right out of the gate. What was it like growing up with a dad known as the slinger from Stringer? Had you ever heard that before, dear?
A lot.
A lot, huh? So go ahead. How was that?
It was good. I always had somebody that I could, like, go to about sports. Uh-huh. Like, somebody very close to me that knew what it was like to grow up through this kind of process. Yep. And
all right. Now, do you have a nickname? Have they labeled you with a nickname?
I don't think so.
Well, we'll work on that, Madeline, and we'll let you know when we come up with one for you. All right, so you're a great high school softball player. Was your dad's wonderful history with Southern Miss Athletics a big influence on your decision to become a Lady Eagle?
It was. It was. That was a big part. Whenever I first started coming to the camps here and stuff, that's what I was like, my dad played here, and it's just – it always felt like home because I grew up around it. So.
Yeah. So when did you start playing softball?
Very young, when I was nine.
9 years old? Yeah. My daughter about the same age, eight, I think. Yeah, nine, that's right, 10 and under, which was, what, 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids, yeah. All right, so tell us what your hopes are, what your goals and aspirations are.
Obviously to be a good softball player, but also to be a leader, like, for Christ. I want to lead through softball,
mm-hmm.
lead people to Jesus and stuff like that. So,
well, let me tell you something. I was talking to a baseball player Sunday afternoon named Tucker Stockman, who's a catcher for the Golden Eagles, and that is the very first thing that came out of that young man's mouth when we were talking. He said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here playing baseball for this wonderful baseball program. And I'm guessing that you feel the same way about coming here to play softball.
I do.
Now, Madeline, you've been a sports fan your whole life. Your parents kind of joked that one of the first words out of your mouth was some, you know, basketball or baseball or whatever. But you were always wanting to play ball. Take us as long as you can remember. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. It started coming out, and just every single time I had one, I was happy. So.
So is it just softball, or are you a multi-sport athlete, as they talk about?
Softball, volleyball. I did play basketball at one point.
And why did you decide to give up basketball?
I wanted to focus more on softball, and the season led into softball. So.
Now has he coached you, and to what level in these different sports? Did he ever coach you in softball?
Not really. He helped with a travel team we had one time, but it wasn't really. He never, not head coach or anything.
Professionally, what do you want to study at Southern Miss?
Kinesiology, as of now.
And if it's not pro softball, if there is such a thing at the time, then what's the dream job? A PT? Physical
therapist.
Okay, I was going to say physical
so
therapist.
She's a lot smarter than you are, either one. That's pretty clear.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Madeline, I see that you've had 802 career strikeouts in high school, and in fast pitch softball, to what degree does the pitcher and catcher determine the success of a fast-pitch softball team?
I think it has to do a lot with it, because it starts with every pitch. Like, either they get a hit, you strike them out, they walk. It has to do a lot with the on base, how many people get on base, and you give up a hit and they score. And
mm-hmm.
So
we've been told, too, Madeline, that it wouldn't matter whether – whoever came along, if Oklahoma came along and said, we want you to go to Oklahoma, your choice was Southern Miss no matter what.
Right. Yes, it was.
Those are pretty strong words. It's got to be more, though, than just your dad having played at Southern Miss.
It is. Like, the coaches, just as soon as I first stepped foot on the field, I was like, this is where I want to be. Like, this is where I want to go. They all had a big influence on me. It wasn't just it wasn't just him. It wasn't just facilities. It was the coaches. Like, I felt like I could be myself around them, and they could have a big impact on my life.
And I want to ask you, too, because obviously one of your goals to be a good teammate is to expose people to the gospel if they haven't already known it. If you ever kind of get that feeling that a person might not be open to it, how do you handle how do you handle a situation like that?
You don't force it upon them. You won't. It's – in the end, it's their decision, but your job is just to do what you can and help how you can.
Let them know that you're there.
Right.
What do you think is the strength of your softball game, and what is something that you are constantly trying to get better at, besides the overall picture?
Confidence, very. Because I'm not as confident as I probably should be, but I've never really been like a cocky type.
Madeline, you've struck out 802 people in your career. What are you not confident about here?
Yeah, coming from a small town, it's kind of hard to be very confident in yourself. You know, you always have people that, even close people to you, that just, you hear stuff that supposedly they say about you and stuff like that, and it tears your confidence down. But in the end, you have to bring yourself up.
Well, let me tell you what the baseball coach at Southern Miss has told me about that. That everyone who gets to this level has the physical ability to play. And the difference in the people who are most successful are the ones who develop the mental aspect of their game to go along with the physical capacity that they have when they get here. So what I think I'm hearing you say is that's what you want to work on, is the mental part of college softball as opposed to playing high school softball.
Yes.
And I think sometimes athletes have difficulty differentiating confidence from being too verbose. I mean, and her dad is a perfect example. Confident in what he did, obviously played the game at a very high level, but was not all about social media. Of course, it didn't exist back then, but didn't like doing interviews, didn't like being in the limelight, but he was confident in what he did. Is that a fair comparison in your view?
Yes. I'm not one that's like, it's all got to be about me or whatever. Like, I'll make a good pitch, but then, like, obviously you have to have a defense to back you up and an offense. And it's just, to me, it's everybody in the game helps you, and it's just, you can't focus on just yourself.
In learning the craft of pitching, who's been your biggest influence?
My dad, probably, and my pitching coach, Sharan Ladner. He helped me a lot ever since I've met him.
And tell us about your repertoire, the pitches you throw and how you learned them and which one's your best.
I like the rise ball the best, but I really didn't have but a couple pitches when I came to Shran, and he taught me multiple three or four more pitches that I've developed and like become good at.
See, and I've learned this too, Bob. You would think in baseball there would be such a thing as a rise ball, but there really isn't, is there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, at least it's not supposed to.
All right, Madeline, I want you to tell me the truth here. Have you ever been in a game where it's – player X has gotten a couple good hits off of you, and she comes up and you think, I'll teach her. I'll put one right up beside her bat helmet, and she won't be so confident the next time she steps in that batter's box.
I have not.
I'm giving you your opportunity here now, Madeline, if you want to confess this to the world.
No, you look
far too sweet to me to do anything like that.
Yeah, but she's stepping into some deep water, so she better get ready to swim, right?
Yeah,
and I think she will.
All right, Madeline, you're going to come here and compete to get on the mound in your freshman year?
Yes, sir.
And what have the coaches told you? We've got about a minute left, but what do they tell a young recruit like yourself when they get you here? What do they tell you your expectations should be?
Just to work hard and just to have the work ethic, and that it's not going to be easy, that it's going to be tough.
Well, that's a lot in life, isn't it? You just got to work hard at things that you do.
I think if I was her recruiter, I'd say, you're Heath Graham's daughter, sign here, press hard, 3 copies.
Yes. All right, Madeline, I want you to leave your phone number. When we come up with a nickname for you, we're going to text it to you, and then starting next year, we will identify you as that. Maybe the Stinger from Stringer. I don't know.
We're going to work something.
On it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. And, hey, we're glad you're going to be a Golden Eagle. And welcome to the family, dear.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, Daniel Stewart's here. Speaking of a former pitcher, there's one out. We've got a coming in pitcher and a pitcher that's long been gone.
Yeah, but Madeline is unhittable.
We'll be right back.
Daniel Stewart was very hittable.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank Madeline Graham and her dad, Heath, for joining us. That was a fun conversation with that young lady and her father. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Great place to catch the ball game tonight. Golden Eagles and the Ole Miss Rebels. That'll be from Jackson. And if you're like me and have no interest at all in going to that field up there, that would be a great place to go and watch the game tonight at 4th Street Bar and Grill. On the way, stop by Mobay Beignet Company, get some beignets and a hot coffee, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page, Mobay Beignet, a great dessert location. Daniel Stewart joins us every Tuesday. We're always glad to have Daniel here in the studio with us to break down the past games and look forward to the next one. And we'll talk about the Ole Miss game in a minute, Daniel. But first, I want to take you back to this weekend. And as a guy that pitched at a very high level yourself, first thing I want you to comment is on this kid, Colby Allen. And I'll confess, he's my favorite player on the team.
Yeah.
A kid that barely pitched in high school and has become an absolute lockdown relief pitcher.
Well, I think that's why he's so much fun to root for, because he took the non-traditional way to being a pitcher, number one. But number two, I mean, the guy just kind of came out of nowhere last year. We didn't know who he was. We were talking about him, and he just, every time he went out, was successful. And now this year, you know, talk about him possibly being a starter. Are we going to start him or not? I think Coach Oz is probably thinking like I do. He's too valuable in that stopper reliever role. He can get one inning of short court, of course, but through five innings, you know, in relief, and gave up only one hit, I think seven strikeouts. So he's that guy that you've got to have in your staff when you need a stop, that you can run him out there and get it.
Well, Saturday night's a great example. He, in many ways, I mean, the guys came on and hit the ball really hard in the eighth inning, but Colby shut the door and gave the team an opportunity to get back in the game and eventually win the ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's something like that pitching stop sparked the offense.
I agree.
It kind of seemed like. So, you know, the value that he brings to this pitching staff and the team as a whole is indescribable.
Also this weekend, a good performance by this flamethrower, J.D. Middleton. And when J.D. can get deep in the game like he did Friday, he's pretty lethal.
Yeah, you know, that's what you look for in your Friday night guy. Seven strong innings, consistent game in, game out. If we can keep him pitching like that, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. We already know his talent. We know he's mid-90s. He's got a good slider. It was a little bit erratic sometimes, maybe walked a few more people. But if we can get more repeat outings like we got Friday, we're going to be in good shape on Friday.
No question. Now, Cross Sibley's just been outstanding, but had a bad start Saturday night, and just seemed to have some trouble with the strike zone and gave up some hits that were very unusual for him. I'm curious – When you have an off night like that, what role do you think it may have played that it was the game was so late, it was out of the routine? What happens in the mind of a young man when they've been outstanding and then they get on the mound one night and they just can't get it across the plate?
Well, you know, I think we maybe even talked about it last week, you know, how you feel physically, how you feel mentally, are you as focused as you should be or could be? A lot of different factors play into that. And then you may feel wonderful, and then you go out there and you're still getting hit. So you kind of have to pinpoint after the game, because during the game you're trying to make adjustments, trying to figure things out. What did I do that caused the situation to go wrong? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? And it's just an adjustment. And, you know, it's he got four innings. Fortunately, Colby came in behind him and shut the door.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that I know Coach Ostrander has a lot of faith in.
Oh, sure.
He's got a lot of innings under his belt, so he's going to make the necessary adjustments he needs to get back and get to that caliber of pitching that we all know he
can
get.
Did you ever have a night like that?
I had lots of nights like that. I remember beating
a
tire one time. I was so mad at myself against Eastern Illinois, a team we should have just obliterated. But, you know, you let out whatever frustration you've got to, and then you try to figure out, like, what do I need to do?
Erase
to get back
it and
on
move
track.
On. Right?
Erase it and move on.
And when you're pitching at the Division I level, it's not like you haven't had these before.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming up through high school, it's just something you learn to deal with and understand that it's all part of the process.
I mean, to get a pitcher that pitches lights out every single game, no blemishes, no mistakes, no hits, that's really, really rare, because, like we've said, the game is designed for the hitter to hit the ball. You got to pitch over a part of the plate, or you put them on base with a walk. So – at the level, D1 level, Kelly, guys are going to hit the baseball. How well do you keep them off balance? How well do you keep them popping up, hitting into ground balls, get a strikeout here and there? That's what really, I think, dictates a good pitcher.
And in the old days, you really could, and I bring the name back, Goose Gossage. Remember Rich Gossage, the great reliever for the Yankees? Yeah. All he had was a fastball. That's all he had. But back then, you could get away with it. Mm-hmm. Now, you even at the D1 level, all right, so you're throwing 96 or 90. Those guys can hit that.
Well, they can hit it.
If it's a flat fastball,
but I mean, I watch the game now, and we used to – I mean, Coach Palmer told me I didn't throw hard enough to throw over the white part of the plate. Believe it or not, I said, Coach, I'm a pitcher. I got to throw it over the white part of the plate. But the plates, we were able to throw 4 inches, 6 inches off the plate back then. As long as you hit your spot, you usually got that call. Nowadays, I mean, you're from the black, maybe just a little bit off, and maybe you get that strike. Maybe you don't. The strike zone is condensed now.
And I wish more umpires would have that attitude that you have, that the game is designed to put the ball in play, make the defense play defense. Mm-hmm. That's better for the fans. Nobody pays to watch a bunch of walks.
Right.
And pitchers aren't that bad that they're going to be walking that many. So umpires, for heaven's sakes, open up the zone a little.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, I had a lot of those, you know.
It's hard enough to pitch.
Outside part of the plate, you hit it off the cap of the bat, you ground out to second base. I mean, we lived out there. You know, every now and then you come in with a fastball, try to sneak them and jam them. But, you know, if you start a breaking ball over the plate that ends up off the outside part of the plate, you know, you just were able to keep the hitters off balance because the plate was a little bit wider. But still, you know, you had to work within the strike zone. You knew you could had to play within, so.
Now, when you watch Colby Allen, I want to go back to him again. What is the most effective thing you see him do, Daniel?
Well, he's got good velocity, number one. He can spot his fastball, command his fastball. He can actually run the fastball. I guess it's a two-seamer, kind of runs down and in on a righty. Then he's got that deadly slider that can starts out halfway down, halfway through the mitt. It's in the same position as that fastball, but then it breaks away. So, you know, real good. Short action, hides the ball a little bit, so the hitter kind of keeps them off balance. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just his command of the pitches that he's got. He doesn't walk a lot of people, gets a lot of swings and misses.
He killed him Saturday night with the slider, didn't
he? Oh, it was deadly. I watched it from TV and that camera from behind in center field. I mean, you could just see all the breaking action.
That's where you get the best view of pitching, I think.
Great view.
Watching it on TV,
great
I hate
view.
To say that, but I think that's true, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so. If they can keep the camera still long enough, it's a good spot.
I always had a really good view on the bench.
Yes, you did. Holding that water for the guys when they came off the field, right?
Just waiting for somebody to yell, timeout.
Yeah.
All right, back in Jackson tonight, rematch with Ole Miss. This will be the fourth game between the state universities. It sure would be nice to get a little revenge after that slugfest a few weeks ago and finish 500 against these in-state rivals of ours.
It would surely be nice. I think – We're removed enough from that game that it's no longer in our memory. We've made the adjustments we need to. I wish we could be playing here at Pete Taylor instead of in Jackson.
I agree.
You know, we went there. Hey, they ought to be able to come here, but it is what it is.
Like Mississippi State.
Like Mississippi State did. But in the minds of our players, I think it is another game. You know, hopefully we're going to maybe have a pitching strategy like we did last week against mm-hmm. Unit Vicaro. How do you say that, Kelly?
the Vasqueros.
Vasqueros.
Vasqueros. Yeah. Is that right?
That's the first time I can remember in a while we only had three midweek pitchers. Now, probably because Matt Adams was throwing so well, we didn't need to have anybody come in. But mm-hmm. if we can get Adams dialed in like he was last Tuesday, I think it's going to be a much different game tonight than it was
two weeks ago. that first game against Ole Miss may have been the worst pitching performance of the year?
Well,
as a staff.
Definitely to date, and I hope when we look back at the completion of the year, we'll say that game was the worst. Yeah. And if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have those type of games, do it on the road, do it on a non-conference schedule. I hate it was against an in-state rival, but, you know, you got to just chalk that off as what it is and move on.
And I really don't think that losses or wins against State or Ole Miss, with all due respect to the Bulldogs and Rebels, I don't think it makes a hill of beans whether you win or lose to both of those programs, because they're both good in their own right.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
I mean, if you might
– both ways.
Correct. So, sure. I mean, you might lose to them, but you're not going to lose anything in RPI.
No.
It's not going to hurt you in the RPI. It might even help you. So I think from that standpoint, it truly is just another game.
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about RPI last week. Both of those teams running an SEC schedule are going to have great RPIs. I think we match up well against them from a pitching standpoint and hitting standpoint. They've got some really good players, and so do we. So really excited to see how this game turns out tonight.
Can you stick around a few more minutes?
You bet it.
Daniel Stewart's with us from Southern Bank Corp. We brought the studio into the studio, so to speak.
And, Bob, I'm a little bit steamed. And I'm about ready to get sideways with somebody about what happened to Arkansas State in basketball.
Have you heard this story, Daniel? We're going to share that next.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I haven't heard.
And I'm a Sun Belt guy and I'm a Southern Miss guy, but Arkansas State has a reason to be ticked off, buddy, just like I am.
We're going to continue our conversation with Daniel Stewart, talk a little basketball when we come back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Now we're talking about baseball, so D-Bat, great segue, sponsor of this segment, D-Bat on Hardy Street. Baseball, softball training for kids, adults, every age. Got a lot of good camps, got a pro shop, got gift cards. There's all kinds of reasons to go to D-Bat if you've got a ball player in your family. Check them out, D-Bat on Hardy Street. Continue our conversation with Daniel Stewart. Let's actually switch to basketball. And we meant to say South Alabama, not Arkansas State, but explain the scenario. And it's almost unbelievable what they did to South Alabama basketball.
And you're kind, Bob, by saying I said Arkansas State. It was my mistake. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm lathered up about this. I'm steamed. South Al. And you know none of us on this program are big fans of South Al. So the fact we're defending them, they got an invitation to participate in the NIT basketball tournament, which they accepted. The committee for the NIT came back literally a couple of hours later and said, we made a mistake. We actually offered Cal Riverside the bid, and they turned it down because they thought they were committed to go somewhere else. So even though you said you'd come and play South Al, we're taking away the invitation and giving it back to Cal Riverside. Now, when we were kids, we called it Indian Giver, you know, no take backs, any of that. That's a bunch of crap right there.
Yeah.
South Alabama was invited and accepted.
Your thoughts about that, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, you try to put yourself in the position of being a player, and you don't think you're going to be in the postseason, and all of a sudden, hey, you are, and you're excited about that, thinking about the future. Even though it's not the big dance, it's still a reputable tournament, and then all of a sudden having that just pulled out from under you. I mean, imagine being a senior on that team, thinking you've got more basketball in you, and all of a sudden just you don't. So I think fair is fair, and like you said, it's rare that we would defend South Alabama, but I think it's definitely the wrong move.
But from an administration standpoint of the NIT, you're already trying to get legitimacy because you live in the shadow of the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
And then you make a boner like this. I mean, what credibility do you have now when somebody, well, you sure? Are you sure?
Well, project a year from now down the road, and these teams that are kind of on the bubble of the NIT, hey, if I accept this, am I going to remain in the tournament? You know? Yeah. It sets a really bad precedent.
And I just don't know why this is why we even have to talk about this. You, Cal Riverside, you turned it down.
You said no.
It's not our fault. You were the ones that made the mistake. We didn't. So we're not going to punish South Al.
Well, it makes you wonder, why did they want Cal Riverside there? Because, I mean, I would think as the committee, you just want to fill the get the teams filled, you know.
Right.
So South Al, Cal Riverside, I had one say no, one say yes. That yes should be the team. So what is it? What made them go back on their decision?
Right. And that's what's going to really haunt them, yeah. I think, in the after effect of this. Yeah. It's terrible, especially that it happened to a Sun Belt team with a league that's really struggling to find its own identity in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, Arkansas State is in the NIT, so they're good. They're fine.
Well, and let's go back to the NIT several years ago when Southern Miss won 31 games, and they were like the fifth or sixth seed. And had to play road games with 31 victories. So, you know, the NIT has been questionable, I think, for several years.
Especially from a team and a school that Southern Miss, that's one of their champions.
Yeah.
You'd think,
that's right.
The Masters Golf Tournament always treats their champions like champions. And the fact that during the Tindall years, because you're sitting there thinking, that's why basketball is really sometimes difficult as a fan to even cheer for, because you know, when Donnie Tindall was here, they did. I think they won 31 or 32 games and didn't even get a sniff from the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament. And then I think we're the fifth seed maybe or seventh seed
that's
or something
crazy
in the NIT that year. So if you don't win the Sun Belt tournament, you're just...
And if I'm not mistaken, I think the year before they made it to the semifinals of the NIT, did they not? Did Tindall's team not play deep into the tournament before they were eliminated by Wisconsin, I want to say? Maybe my memory.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're old. You know, things get a little
Well, I said Arkansas State just a few minutes ago when I meant to say South Alabama. So
after all these mistakes, are you still coming back, Daniel?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, last question. About a minute left. I know there was a little angst that the Golden Eagles didn't sweep this weekend. They move up in the D1 poll. A lot of baseball in front of them, and still so much reason to be optimistic, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there is. We've got a great team, great coaching staff, a great fan base, great place to play baseball at Pete Taylor Park. So, you know, I try to tell myself not to take that kind of stuff for granted. We're going to be just fine this season, and I don't think we got anything to worry about.
Did you make it up? Did you make it all the way through Saturday night as late as the game was?
Yeah, I actually did not go, but I watched it on TV, so yeah. I was there sitting in the comfort of my chair in my living room.
I wanted to go to bed, but I just couldn't pull away from Colby Allen long enough, so
yeah.
I did manage to.
In any league in college baseball D1, if you win 2 out of 3 of every series, you're good.
I mean, that's kind of the benchmark, the standard you try to set. Win 2 out of 3. If you can win 3, great. If you lose 2 out of 3, you know, check yourself, see what happens.
Yeah, you only beat Old Dominion 2 out of 3, but if you beat Coastal Carolina 2 out of 3 and you beat Troy 2 out of 3, what's the difference?
Yeah, you're in pretty good shape. You win every series the rest of the year.
Win the series, that's right.
All right, Daniel, thanks, man. We'll see you next week. That wraps up this show. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss,
to the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.